I'm James.
I'm Carrie.
I'm Lacey.
And I'm Lee at Just One More Fix,
a proud member of the Gunna Geek Network.
Just like the show you're listening to now.
The opinions expressed are those of each individual host.
Check out all the other podcasts at GunnaGeekNetwork.com.
And get ready, because geekiness begins in
three, two, one.
Man, Vern Troyer finally got that freaking bell on him. Netflix reveals some really scary movies. Deadpool 2 looks cray-cray, and much more. So grab your spoons, because the soup is served.
All right, welcome to Digital Soup, the only podcast that really whips the llama's ass.
Oh, what?
Brought to you by Winamp.
Yeah, oh. See?
Yes.
Adam knows. Dave's like, what are you talking about?
Oh, that, I had to like search my hard drive for that one. Like, spinning up disc. What app was that? Winamp.
All right, here's for Dave.
Winamp. It really whips the llama's ass.
Yep, I don't that remember was exactly that. It.
Yep. Yeah, back in the day, every time you launched Winamp, it would play that little thing.
Nice.
I believe it did. Or did you have to go into like About Me or something? I can't remember.
I think it was in the About section.
Yeah, but well, anyways, everybody, my name is Jason, and joining me in the virtual studio today is Adam and usually Dave. How's it going, gentlemen?
Great.
Doing good, doing good. We got a special feature this afternoon.
I'm sorry, I was just waiting for the doing good, and we got it. Yes!
We got it. I got to do it now. It's kind of a gimmick.
That's all right. I'm doing good.
I'm super self-conscious even talking right now because over the weekend, I was playing, we went down on a trip up the North Shore with my kids and wife and I and enjoying the nice weather yesterday. And we were listening to one of our latest episodes and I was on some...
You let your kids listen to us?
Sure, sure. Not a lot, but a little
sure,
bit.
Sure, sure, or just sure?
I'm super self-conscious. Anyways, I had done an episode of Shutter Time recently, which I talked about, and that was a lot of fun with Mac and Brian Manier. We talked about meaningful photography, and we mentioned that here before. I also had the opportunity to be a guest on a photography podcast, another one called Street Shots, the Switch to Manual podcast, with a fantastic guy named Antonio, who runs that podcast.
Banderas?
Yeah. And, no, not Banderas. Antonio Rosario. And he had me
Dawson?
On. And, no, it was really weird, though. It was awesome to be on there. I really enjoyed it and so thankful he asked me on. It was a lot of fun, great conversation. But the weird thing was is it was almost at times very much an interview. Like he was interviewing me, like wanting to know my photo process and everything else. So that also is there. That's a great episode if you guys want to check that out. But during this, my nine-year-old... So we're listening to it on the car ride, and she goes, "Dad, why do you stutter so much?" I'm like, "What do you mean? I don't stutter." Yeah, and then I started listening. She goes, "Yeah, like right there." And right then she starts pointing out all the times where I repeat myself over and over. And she's like, "You know, my teacher says that if you stutter and you're saying that stuff, you're not actually listening. You're just thinking of the next thing you're going to say." And I'm like,
oh, out of the
yes, Emma, you are correct.
See, your teacher's wrong.
Yeah, no, very true. But now I'm super self-conscious about the way I talk. So.
Yeah, sure, well, Dave, sure. That's the exact same reason why I don't let my daughters listen to this, because they'll be like, "Dad, why do you keep saying and all the time?
Why do you keep saying inappropriate things constantly?"
Right.
Said you know Adam's what? Children.
Oh.
Maybe they should just go listen to Art Bell instead.
Well, they can't, dude.
Well, they could if they had like the older shows. Now that he's apparently passed 72 years old. Art yep. Bell, an apostle of
Did
the paranormal.
Did you guys used to listen to him?
Oh,
yes. I've listened to several of his, yeah, a lot of his episodes.
I used to listen to him a lot back in, oh, geez.
90s, X-Files days.
It had to have been, yeah, probably the 90s was when I used to listen to it. Back before, you know, you had MP3s and you could just listen to that in the car. I used to listen
on
to
Winamp. Brought to you by Winamp. Is that app even around anymore?
No, it actually, a few years ago, I think it was 2015, it got discontinued. You can't even download it anymore, actually.
Actually, if you go to winamp.com, they're working to re-energize Winamp for your PC.
Are you serious?
And your Mac. In fact, the title says it really whips. There's a picture of a llama. And it, and the title of their site is "It Really Whips the Llama's Ass."
You know what? When I was thinking of what I wanted to do this week for that, I was trying to think of some obscure technology type saying or whatever. And for some reason, that popped into my head. And now they're revitalizing it.
We're going to, you heard it here first, guys. Yep. Back to Art Bell.
Back to Art Bell. He is, for people who don't know who he is, he had a radio
coast
show.
Coast to coast.
Yeah. I used to listen to it literally at like midnight. Like I'd be driving home from one of my jobs I had. I can't remember at the time.
It starts at midnight.
It starts at
our
midnight.
Time,
yeah,
central time. Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, I used to listen to him all the time on the way home, and it would go in and out because I believe it was an AM station, wasn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah, and it would kind of go in and out, but you know the stories were pretty interesting. He had some great guests on there, and he always talked about paranormal stuff. You know, aliens.
Yep.
You know, had people on that were talking about you know their place was haunted. You know, all kinds of different cool stuff.
Shadow people.
I enjoyed it a lot.
Pleiadians.
Yeah.
Exactly.
It was a great show. It's a bummer to hear this news, but he hasn't been on there in quite some time, really.
And I wonder, you know, I should actually go back and see if I get some of his, you know, most recent shows, because I literally stopped listening to him 15 years ago, maybe, just because I wasn't on the radio listening to stuff at that point.
He hasn't been doing the show in quite some time, because he handed it off to George Norrie, who took over Coast to Coast AM.
Okay, and, yeah, I did listen when the transition happened.
Yep.
Okay, and so
that's been
that.
Many years, and Coast to Coast AM is still going. They have their own subscription podcast service where you can get, it's pretty inexpensive, actually, and you get every episode every day and access to their full library. Now, keep in mind, these are like three-hour episodes every night, and they're a lot of fun. Now, sometimes in recent years, I've caught them usually when my band is playing, when I've got those long drives home at like 2 a.m. I'll throw them on and just listen, because I'm never up that late otherwise normally. And they have gotten a little more into, at times, more political world events, things like that.
Oh, really?
But not entirely, because they also have hosts that are on different times, where there's actually one or two guys. There's a radio show out of the cities. Adam, you might know it. Is it called the Darkness Radio? Something like
Darkness Radio, yep.
Yep. And one of the hosts, I think, I could be wrong on this, but I think one of the hosts from there also hosts on Coast to Coast AM. And so they do still talk some of the paranormal, the unexplained, the UFOs, aliens, all this crazy stuff. And whether you believe it or not, they are just so much fun to listen to sometimes. I mean, it's just...
Yep. Yeah, sometimes you want something different. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. A little different. It's not your standard talk radio. It's out there sometimes and crazy, but sometimes really makes you wonder and makes you think.
Did you guys listen to that one episode where they were talking about those sharks that had laser beams?
No.
Yes.
You didn't. I mean, they had freaking laser beams.
Yeah.
It was amazing.
They did. And this makes me real sad.
Very sad.
Yep.
Vern Troyer, a.k.a. Mini-Me from the Austin Powers films, has passed away at age 49. And I believe it was actually just today. We're recording this on Sunday. Won't be released on Tuesday. Just a little, you know, behind the scenes there. But he did pass away. And, you know, this is on the cusp of Mike Myers planning the next Austin Powers movie. Yep. So, unfortunately, we are not going to be seeing at least Vern Troyer's Mini-Me in the next movie.
Right. Yeah, it looks like he passed away actually on Saturday. Sometime Saturday, it looks like. But still not listing a cause of death or anything. But I know he had some major health issues for quite some time. But still a bummer. And you know, we tried to give him a little resurgence here because, man, over the last 2 months, we've had no shortage of Vern Troyer references here.
I know. So. When this popped up and... This was hilarious because I just went to my cell phone at work today, and it was today, right? It wasn't yesterday. It was today. And
this morning you posted.
You get the notifications on your phone, you know, on your lock screen, and it said Vern Troyer, Mini-Me of Austin Powers films, et cetera, dies at 49. And I'm like, oh, man. And I took a snapshot real fast of it, sent it over to these guys. And of course, they ignored me. I didn't talk to them until I got home tonight. They ignored me all freaking day.
Right. Yep. Well, and I'm going to, are you guys okay with this? Because in the article we've got linked up on CNN.com, they have a post from him, well, not from him, but from his social media on Instagram. And this is from 1 day ago. It says, it is with great sadness and incredibly heavy hearts to write that Vern passed away today. Vern was an extremely caring individual, wanted to make everyone smile, be happy, and laugh. Anybody in need, he would help to any extent possible. Vern hoped he made a positive change with the platform, and he had worked towards spreading that message every day. He inspired people around the world with his drive, determination, and attitude. On film and television sets, commercial shoots, at comic cons, personal appearances, to his own YouTube videos, he was there to show everyone what he was capable of doing. Even though his stature was small, his parents often wondered if he'd be able to reach up and open doors on his own in life. He went on to open more doors for himself and others than anyone could have imagined. He also touched more people's hearts than he will ever know. Vern was also a fighter when it came to his own battles. Over the years, he struggled and fought some more. But unfortunately, this time was too much. During his recent time of adversity, he was baptized while surrounded by his family. Family appreciates that they have this time to grieve privately. Depression and suicide are very serious issues. You never know what kind of battle someone is going through inside. Be kind to one another and always know it's never too late to reach out to someone for help. In lieu of flowers, please feel free to make a donation to Vern's name, in Vern's name, to either of his two favorite charities, the Starkey Hearing Foundation and Best Buddies. And so really kind of a really nice statement from his people. But also that last part makes you wonder if he unfortunately lost a battle with depression.
And that's what I was just going to say, because the article that it originally linked up, it said that the cause was unknown. Cause of his death was unknown. But then with that statement from the family talking about depression and suicide, that almost leads you to believe that that might have been how he had ended.
Right. And that's a bummer to see. I mean, I've lost a couple of good friends who have decided that they've had enough of that battle and they took their own lives. And it's a nasty thing to go through. And thoughts are with the family and everyone in this time. But for such a, I mean, I don't want to make this sound like a joke, because we've certainly had fun with laughing and stuff regarding Vern. But it's truly because it's a character we've loved. And one of those things where for such a small person made a huge impact on so many people. So rest easy.
Now, he's not the only Hollywood guy to go this last week here.
No, it's been a big week.
Arlie Ermey, the drill instructor from Full Metal Jacket, is his best known role. Complications with pneumonia, according to his manager. He died at 74.
Yeah.
They come in threes, they say.
Well, there's been more. Three.
Well, you know what? I don't want this to be the death episode.
No, I know. Well, the one thing about Arlie Ermey, everyone knows him from Full Metal Jacket, one of his most iconic roles. In recent years, he's been doing a lot with like the History Channel and a number of different places like that. Everyone knows this guy. Even if you don't know his name, when you see his picture, you'll know who he is. But I don't have all the details on this. And I remember hearing this when I was younger, and even hearing it just a few years ago. One of our listeners, I won't name him, but you know who you are. We've always been told, because this listener's father served in the Marine Corps as a drill instructor. And from everything we've always been told our entire lives, this listener, his father served in the Marine Corps as a drill instructor with Arlie Ermey. So he knew him personally back when they were in the Marines as drill instructors. So kind of a little bit of a, I didn't have any personal connection to it, but an interesting, wow, I never would have thought of that from up here in, you know, my neck of the woods. So interesting.
Well, let's change some gears here.
Yeah. Let's still talk about some movie stuff, though.
I'm so sad.
Well, we're going to be on movies for a little bit here.
This is an interesting one. Netflix used big data to identify the movies that are too scary to finish. So they use data based on, now that they can stream and, you know, ever since they went away from the DVD only model, they're collecting a lot more data, because they can see how far, of course, people stream a movie and then stop. So they determined that if a viewer watched at least 70% of a movie, a data point that the streaming service is able to calculate, but then turned the movie off, it was because it was too horrifying to watch. This is interesting. So this article on Forbes, according to their list, has the top 10 movies that are too scary to finish on Netflix.
And unfortunately, are you guys able to access the website?
Yeah.
Man, it's giving me URL too long every time I try to access it. I don't know why. It's giving me the ad, but it's not letting me get into it. So Adam, why don't you go ahead and tell our listeners what some of these movies are that are scary.
Cabin Fever from 2016.
You know what? I have not even seen that yet. I've wanted to see it, but I never had.
Carnage Park, also from 2016. Never heard of it.
Never heard of it.
Mexico Barbaro, 2014.
Never heard of it.
Piranha, 2010.
I have heard of it.
Yeah, never seen it.
Apparently too scary to finish.
Yeah, I guess. Mm.
Raw.
To start for me.
Raw from 2016.
God, never heard of that one either.
Nope. Teeth from 2007. Anybody?
That one rings
a bell. I know what it's about.
I heard that movie totally bites. The it Conjuring.
Bites junk.
What?
Oh,
why would it say that?
It's the teeth in a vagina.
Is it really?
It is. No, I do remember reading about that. No, you go right now and look up teeth.
I'm not looking teeth.
Here is from Netflix explicitly. When a virtuous high school student is sexually assaulted, she discovers that she has an unexpected line of defense.
Okay, that's a good. The Conjuring, 2013. I have not
you
seen
know,
that.
I haven't seen that either. Oh, I suck.
The Human Centipede 2, Electric Boogaloo. Human Centipede 2,
what was
full
that
sequence.
So the Electric Human Boogaloo.
Electric Boogaloo.
I have not seen any of those.
No,
nope,
and I don't want
to.
I'm
not interested. The Void, 2016. I started watching that. But
I haven't seen that either.
Didn't get very far into it.
Was it too scary?
No, it wasn't. I was just tired.
Are these movies really too scary to finish, or are people getting 70% in and going,
this
I just
sucks.
Wasted an hour of my time.
Well, that's what makes me question this, because this is a movie that you like, Jason, Jerusalem.
I liked it. I said it was
You said it's the best movie you've
this
ever seen
the
in your
Google
life.
Glass.
I did.
Was this the
Google
Glass
Yeah, that's the
Glass
Google
movie?
Glass, yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
So the number one 1984 Care Bear movie.
Yeah, I could see that. No, what is the number one?
Just kidding. That Jerusalem was, there was no number one. They were just
yeah,
all
they weren't ranked.
Okay.
A list. Interesting, though. So I'm going to have to finish some of these.
Let me talk about one thing here real fast. The short for Lights Out, which all of us watched, and then they made a full-length movie of it.
Yep.
And I really enjoyed the short, but it disturbed me enough that I never watched the full one, even though I should. But I've never started a movie and got too scared I didn't finish it. I have actually, you're going to laugh at this, but I have actually watched very frightening movies, you know, and I always watch it by myself because nobody else, you know, nobody else in my family watches horror movies. But so, you know, not scared, but so disturbed or whatever by it that I actually turned the lights on when I finished it.
Because
I usually watch all my movies in the dark.
What made you do that? Like, what was the movie that made you be
afraid of the dark? At this point, I cannot tell you.
Disappointment.
Disappointment. But I know I've done it in the past.
I can say honestly, yeah, I've never watched a movie that was too scary to finish. I've watched some that they stick with you where it's kind of like, man, that was
creepy.
Messed up or just creeped up.
Hostel
That's the
was one of them.
More.
Hostel disturbed me almost more than any other movie because watching that, you know, I'm thinking to myself, man, this crap probably really happens. And that scares the, you know, the bejesus out of me.
Well, so, that's the thing. Okay. It's not the gore that gets me. It's the ones that are just legitimately real enough, but disturbing and creepy where you're like, oh, man.
Let me ask you guys this, and maybe this is a good one for the listeners to start talking about on our social media. What movie scared or disturbed you the most that you saw as a kid?
Ooh.
Oh, as a kid.
You want to know the one? It's not a movie. Go ahead. You got one.
I've got one in my mind, and some people don't find it that scary, but Fire in the Sky frightened me to death when
Fire
I saw it as a kid.
Fire in the Sky.
This is a movie about Travis Walton getting abducted by aliens, and they take him aboard a ship, and they like hold him down, and it was like the...
Oh, I was 36 when that came out.
No, you weren't.
I know you weren't. Usually you say I'm so freaking old.
You were 80.
I was eight. You know what?
But that movie disturbed me though, just because the whole, you know, as a kid, aliens were like the first time I saw a picture of a gray alien, it terrified me, and I don't know why.
Really?
It just did. Yep, it was that. Huh. That was became my childhood fear.
I know
I
why.
Saw E.T.
No
when
genitalia.
I was really young. Yeah, that is an indicator.
That's why
he
was
me the
terrified.
Most. Well, I can't tell what it is.
Where's its junk?
How is it supposed to pee?
No.
Out its finger, E.T. got pee.
Yeah, E.T. scared me too. So any of those were, you know, as a
You
kid.
Want to know the one I remember most vividly having nightmares about as a kid, and I was young, but it wasn't a movie. It was Michael Jackson's Thriller music video. Honestly, I remember seeing that when that was launched, and I was young, and that terrified me.
Oh, yeah, his eyes glowing in the dark.
Yep, I remember seeing that transformation as he turns into the werewolf. Yeah, it scared the daylights out of me, and I remember watching the video and being so scared. I can't remember how old I was. I should look up and see. Okay. Unless one of you guys want to look and see what year it was. But I remember not even be able to fully finish the video, pulling the blankets over my head.
Fully finished? Dave, you told me 82. The story off air.
You told me the story off air.
I'm drinking a little ale right now.
It's a transformer. It's a weapon forest.
No, it was about... After he made the full transformation, and I remember I did finish it, but it was like peeking under the blankets and watching. Oh. That video terrified me. What, do you guys have it? Anyone of you able to look that up and see what
1982.
Year that was released? 82. So I was 4.
And I was 11.
And so 3. At 4 years old, I mean, you can give me a pass, right? I mean, 4 years old, that's terrifying.
Yeah, get a pass for that. The other thing that terrified me, this isn't a movie, but, and we've talked about this before, those freaking on Sesame Street, they had those, maybe my deal is just aliens. They materialize in your house.
Who was it?
Ready
your buddy?
To touch you or take you at any time.
Was it our buddy of the show, Jesse, who said, or who was it? Someone
yeah,
else maybe
it
said, Sesame Street, conjuring nightmares since whenever.
Pretty much.
Uh-huh. That's awesome.
All right. Well, listeners, like Adam did say here before we go on, just do that. Go on to, you know, social media, be it, you know, Instagram, Twitter, you know, Facebook, if we want to look at it or not. I don't know. And let us know what the scariest movie you ever didn't finish was.
Yeah.
That'd be fun.
I've got something else that I think could be fun with this. We've got this list in this article. It's on the Forbes.com website. They're all on Netflix. So listeners, if any of you are planning to go through and watch these, let me know, because I will gladly try and set aside some time and watch them along with you guys, so we can discuss them a little bit on social media in some aspect as well, to say, yeah, was that warranted to be on that list or not? So kind of a fun idea to me to look at this and say, well, I wonder if these really are that scary, or looking at most of them, I have a feeling that they're just kind of garbage movies that people turn off because they're just dumb.
Yeah,
probably.
No, I didn't think Jerusalem was Oscar worthy, but I didn't mind it. I mean, Adam, you know, hated it with a passion. You know, I don't think it was that scary either. So I don't know what these people are talking about.
Yeah,
right. Something like that.
Exactly.
But let's get off this topic. Let's get on to the next topic and let's own it.
Yeah, yeah. let's do it. Let's lift things.
Yeah.
Big worst power, segue man. Ever.
Well, you're the one with the segue on it. Carbon fiber, artificial muscles can lift 12,000 times their weight. So can you imagine what an ant would do with carbon fiber muscles? They can already
I can.
Lift.
I've seen the movie, and the sequel's coming out this summer, Ant-Man and the Wasp.
Oh, yeah, that's true.
Now, this when I came across this article here, this legitimately scares me. And Dave understands why, and I think Adam does too. But
some superhuman stuff here.
Yeah, I mean, you do know that they're not putting this into humans to make us superhuman.
Oh,
they're
yet.
Putting this into robots and machines. So now we're going to have robots that develop a consciousness that decide to take us out, and they are super strong. We're dead.
They were already super strong with their hydraulic arms and their skeletal faces. But I guess these 12,000 times your own weight, you could build a robot the size of a person, which is going to be, what, 1,000 pounds, 12,000 times its own weight. I mean, you could basically pick up a semi truck and throw it. This is going to be crazy.
It is. But what I want to know too, because in the world of photography, especially when it comes to tripods, everyone wants carbon fiber. It's nice and lightweight. So. It's kind of a weird title for me of this article. Carbon fiber, artificial muscles can lift 12,000 times their own weight. Well, it'd be more impressive if it was like solid steel muscles or something. Because carbon fiber, to me, when I hear that, I don't know why, I think of an item that is extremely strong and durable, but very light.
Dave's thinking 2 ounces, so it's lifting.
Yeah, that's what I'm like. Okay.
It's lifting nothing.
How much does a muscle,
20 pounds.
A carbon fiber muscle, how much does that weigh? And that's what I'm thinking. I guess I'm just too logical, but looking at it, it's like, well, man, 12,000 times a
few ounces. So this is what, so Dave, you're calling this on this story then.
Oh, shit.
Oh, family friendly show no longer, I guess.
Now, hey, this show is on at 9 p.m. on AMC.
Oh, please. let's tell the listeners a little bit more about this. So the researchers at the Department of Mechanical Science and Engineering at the University of Illinois have created a new artificial muscle design based on coiled carbon fiber and rubber. They do have a video showing a coiled carbon fiber silicone rubber yarn. 90 millimeters in length with a diameter of 0.4 millimeters and a weight of 1.6 grams is able to lift a gallon of water more than 1 inch with an applied voltage. That's pretty incredible that they're basically able to apply some voltage to this material and have it move something that weighs that much. I think where you can take this, aside from just the artificial intelligence takeover in real life, I mean, I think about more power tools and power suits, you know, like think aliens, and she gets in the power suit that can lift
the
stuff,
mech,
you know?
yeah
I mean there's a lot of different areas you could take this kind of technology.
Edge of Tomorrow, those military suits.
Well, and you know, the interesting thing about this and the reason they went carbon fiber is I wasn't too far off, because it's the perfect balance, they're saying, of strength to weight ratios, because it is very lightweight. But then you mentioned this part about the, you know, it's a yarn basically blended with rubber and carbon fiber, and they send electricity through it. And it got me thinking, what if they partnered up with that other company? This is like the second time we've referenced them, that it was like a rubbery material that they were using real thin that was generating its own electricity from movement. And you put something like that in there, and suddenly you have something that, just the act of moving it controls the power side of it. You, in theory, my mind is, I'm no doctor, I'm no scientist, but it makes you wonder if they could somehow do that, have the fitting where it, if you were to replace a limb, let's say, have that fitting be there where it can be powered by that rubber material that is built as part of it, so that it's actually got electrical impulses right through, and you could replace a hand or something like that that's very lightweight but super functional.
Well, that would be cool. And that was, you know, the first impression when I read this is I thought about prosthetics. Yeah. You've got somebody that loses a hand or an arm or something like that. You could potentially, you know, if you could control this right and develop it properly, if the technology worked, you could potentially use that sort of technology in something like that, I guess. You know, the human body already generates some amount of current, which is... I wonder if that would even be enough. I don't know anything about the power requirements of this stuff, but it's pretty interesting that it has that much capability to lift 12,000 times what it weighs.
I can do that.
Well, yeah.
So this. Sorry, I was looking at this because I'm not crazy. What I said initially about being lightweight, and you guys are talking about ounces.
I think he is
crazy.
I'm
not crazy. No, what they're saying in the video, if you watch this, you can see a coiled artificial muscle with a diameter of just 0.4 millimeters in operation. It's lifting a half gallon of water, which weighs 12,600 times more than it does. So their clickbait title, I wasn't far off on that. Not that this isn't an extraordinary...
Did you crunch the numbers? How much does it weigh?
I don't know. It didn't say it's 0.4 millimeters in operation.
It said 1.6 grams.
Oh, there it goes. Okay, 12,006 times more. It's lifting a half gallon of water. So I don't think we're going to see this necessarily throwing semi-trucks around. But they are saying that it is capable, when they measured the joules of work per kilogram, about 18 times higher than your, you know, normal human's biological muscles. So the thing they said is that it's very slow. When you watch the video is played at 4 times normal speed. So you might be able to, you know, lift more weight or something like that, but it's going to do it a lot slower than other means possibly. So still some stuff to work out, but And they do actually mention, you know, motorized exoskeletons helping people lift heavy objects.
We'll put it this way. This one string weighs 1.6 grams. Doing the math, if you have an average of a 26-pound arm, which is about 11,793 grams, according to the Google machine, we can actually divide that by 1.6, and we get how many strands of this stuff you'd need, which is about 7,000. You can actually have the weight of a human arm. You'd be at 7,000.
You get in there, then you've got some serious weight.
Yeah, now you're ready to really slowly pull up several milk jugs.
I've just got to say, our take on this before we actually dove into the facts. Let's just say. I'm just saying, I don't think we need to actually look at stories anymore because we were pretty much dead on just from the headlines. So maybe we just become a headline reading podcast, right? No, we like to give the real facts as much as we can.
It's all clickbait now. You wouldn't believe the things that we're going to talk
number
about.
Number 17 stunned me.
Doctors hate this.
This one trick got me out of debt fast.
If there's one reason to get off of Facebook, it's those stupid things.
Exactly. Hate it. So let's switch over to video games a little bit. There's an article out on SNK working on a new hardware, some new hardware packed with games. Now, this is the old arcade machines, correct, Jason?
Well, it's if anybody was around back in the Sega Genesis 16-bit days, we all remember how awesome Sega Genesis and Super Nintendo looked back in the day.
Yep.
Well, SNK released a little video game system called the Neo Geo. And what was so freaking cool about this is it was a honking big console. The cartridges were the size of VHS tapes, and I'm not kidding, Adam, because I know you've never seen these. You Google some pictures. They were the size of VHS tapes. Each game cost $200. Again, I'm not kidding. You have to look it up. That was what they were released at, $200. The system was like $500. But here's the thing. This was arcade quality. SNK released all of their fighting games. You know, they had a whole line of awesome fighting games. And you played the exact same game at home that you were playing at the arcade at the time. So it was pretty dang sweet. Now, I never owned one of these systems because, well, they were $500 and the games were $200. But later on, when emulation came out, I did try my hand at a lot of the games via emulation, and they were pretty awesome. And Dave can even tell you there was one little game that me and him used to play head-to-head all the time in emulation, and that was the bowling game. I can't even remember what it was called now.
I don't remember.
Might have just been called Neo Geo Bowling or something. It was awesome. And for that time now, when Dave and I played it, there was like PlayStations out and stuff. Things with much better graphics. But, geez, back in the day of the 16-bit era, this just killed everything at a hefty price. But so what's SNK doing? They're like, hey, look at that NES Classic. Look at that Super NES Classic. Look at that N64 Classic coming out soon, I hope. Let's get in on this.
The Sega one we talked about.
Yeah, the Sega one. And I think there was another one coming out, too.
Well, Atari Box.
that's a brand new system. I don't know what they're talking about. But
what's
at least that's what they're saying. Play some
mouthful
old
of marbles there or what?
Yeah. What do you think? I'm Nirvana right now? Or Weird Al singing. But so they're coming out with their very own little Neo Geo system. There's not a whole lot of information about it yet, but it's going to be coming out to help celebrate their 40th anniversary of the system originally. Of the company, it can't be of the system because it wasn't 40 years ago the Neo Geo came out, but 40 years for the company. But this is probably, this and the N64 would be the two systems I would actually buy. You know, I don't need the 8-bit Nintendo, 16-bit Nintendo, 16-bit Genesis, you know, because I got my Raspberry Pi. But this would just be pretty dang sweet because, you know, I love those Neo Geo games, and I would love to get this little console. And, of course, the N64 one, I got to get that one. But what do you guys think? You think you'd pick up this? Adam, he's never heard of SNK or Neo Geo, so we'll not even
Oh, no, I have, but through you, basically. So thanks for discrediting your own information.
Just What's the price on it?
Oh, this is way too early. No, they're not saying they don't have any type of information like that. I don't even think it lists a proposed launch date or anything.
Hmm. Well, I guess for me, that would be my thing. I mean, if it's reasonable... And, you know, and it comes in something like the SNES Classic or something where it's like $60 to $80. I might think about it because a lot of those games, like you said, when we used to play them at your place, they were fun. Mm-hmm. You know, they weren't necessarily as good as, you know, I shouldn't say as good. They weren't necessarily as fun as I remember having with things like the Super Nintendo back when I was young and you know, the 8-bit Nintendo. But a lot of fun to play still. And especially, it seems, as far as I remember, there was because it was an arcade company, so many of them were fun to play with friends. Mm-hmm. And for me, I'm thinking about it like, if the price is right, be a great system to have just to play, you know, play games with the kids and stuff like that, too, where easy to throw stuff in and just have fun with it.
And the big thing with the Neo Geo system was SNK in the arcade was a fighting company. Almost every, I'd say easily 80% of all the games that were released for the Neo Geo were fighting. There were some sports games they released and some puzzle games, etc. like that, but the majority of them were fighting games.
Yep.
Like King of Fighters, and I'm just, man, there's so many titles I can't even think of what all of them were right now, but King of Fighters was a big one. And, you know, just check it out. You know, anybody that's interested in gaming that knew nothing about the Neo Geo, you know, do some research on it. Take a look at some videos. You know, YouTube has videos of all the games if you wanted to take a look at them. And, you know, see if this is something you might be into, especially if you're a fighting fan. You know, this is a great history of fighting games.
Cool.
Oh, exactly. Hey, what time is it?
You know what? I really don't know. Let me look at my clock here.
It's time for a geek off.
Really whips the llama's ass.
Man, all kinds of cursing tonight, man.
Man, you're going to have a lot of bleeping to do. This is a family-friendly show.
Well, no, the llama has a donkey.
Your llama has a donkey.
Oh, man.
Jealous?
Well, this...
No. What should I be? This guy's llama has its own pet donkey.
It's one advanced llama.
Yep.
This week, I know last week we had a fun one with the Skyrim versus Fallout conversation, and I got a comment via social media this week, and for the life of me, I couldn't find it to see who it was that sent it in, but it gave me an idea. They said, what about, they would skip the two of them, and they'd rather live in the world of Mass Effect, and I thought, wow. Mm. Hadn't really thought of that because I've never really played Mass Effect.
Yeah, I know nothing about its environment, so I couldn't.
But I know it's like a space kind of shooter, and I know it's real popular. So I decided, let's throw this in because it gave me an idea. We're going to do another What Would You Rather Live Life As? A character in Mass Effect. So you might have to do a quick look at the basic idea of Mass Effect. Or would you rather live in the world of Halo?
And I, you know what? I played Halo like twice.
Ah, what?
I know. I never got into Halo.
I used to play the original Halo a lot.
Oh, I know. And man, Dave did too, man. That. He worshiped that game. I think he neglected two or three girlfriends. They broke up with him because he wouldn't get off it.
I never had two or three girlfriends. What are you talking about?
So Mass Effect
or Halo.
Or Halo. Boy, I don't know much about Mass Effect either.
I don't know much about either of them.
So, Halo?
So, Mass Effect is a science fiction.
This is more like a Gunna Geek between maybe two shows. I mean, we should probably start doing something like that.
A what?
We could do a Gunna Geek between two different podcasts here we could do it. Never mind. We could do a Geek Off between two different shows on the Gunna Geek Network at some point.
What do you mean? Like, what would you rather listen to?
Well, no. I think
better podcasting or all things good and nerdy go.
We don't want to do that.
Well, I thought it was SP or somebody that did the Mass Effect one.
So, was it SP? Maybe it could be.
I'm not sure off the top of my head, but that's
so. What it is? Here's Mass Effect, just the simple synopsis, and we know what Halo is. But Mass Effect is a science fiction action role playing third person shooter video game series developed by the Canadian company BioWare, released for 360, PS3, Windows, etc.
So it's probably very accurately genre that talked about it then, since it's Canadian.
Well, it could be SP2. I don't know. But basically, from what I remember about the game, it's not so much crazy Halo alien type stuff. Could be.
I think it's more about a love triangle.
Well, so then you're saying you want to live in Mass Effect.
Well, yeah.
Yeah, and a love triangle between you, Master Chief.
I'm going to roll the dice and go with Mass Effect here because, you know, Halo, did you ever play the game all the way to the end, like the original?
Oh, yeah.
Not me.
Where suddenly it just gets really crazy. Like, what is happening here? Yeah, no thanks.
Did you ever watch the animated film that was out?
Nope.
No.
You see, what was it called? Trying to think now, it was on Netflix, I believe, a while back, and you basically get introduced to Master Chief, but it's not during Halo, it's like the events leading up to Halo, and it looks like that world and that universe is just devoid of any hope of anything.
Wasn't Halo about this environment that was on like a ring of Saturn?
It was a ring. But it wasn't a ring of Saturn.
Yeah, out in space.
But I mean, wasn't it surrounding a planet?
The halo itself was a planetary ring, basically. So like, you lived on the ring.
Yeah, and it had like an environment with like grass and everything.
Yep, and that's where Spock lived.
So it was a lot like Ark.
Yeah, the same as Ark, except with Spock and Luke Skywalker on it. So
what you're saying is rock, paper, scissors, lizard, Spock.
Yes. That's what I was getting at.
So there are aliens in this. I'm looking a little more for you guys. I'm doing research. You ready? In the year 2148 CE, the human race discovered the ruins of an ancient race known as the Protheans on Mars. After discovering these ruins, humanity learned the secrets of mass effect physics and something called element zero. These two things combined gave humans the ability to discover faster than light travel. The human race also discovered the mass relay network, which permitted them instantaneous passage across thousands of light years and opened up the whole galaxy for discovery. This was when humanity started its journey among the stars and established its presence in the universe. 35 years later, you jump into the shoes of a Lieutenant Commander Shepard aboard a ship. Shepard tasked with a routine mission to go to the human colony on the planet and recover an unearthed beacon. They soon discover it's under attack by the Geth army, whatever that is, led by a rogue Turian Spectre. So there is some alien warfare and stuff going, but it sounds like, to me, hearing about this reminds me much more of a Star Trek type universe where there's people on the fringes in different places, colonies getting attacked, but maybe that there's still some place that's still Earth and normal and
a little more hope.
Yep. Anything that has FTL, I have to go with. So I'm going with that.
Well, we're going to have to edit out a bunch of my nonsense later, but that's all right.
Well, I threw a curveball because I picked something that none of us knew about, but I thought
for a great debate.
It does. Let's debate.
That's like Dave going, do you like pads or do you like the tampons? It's like, we don't know, Dave.
No, but here's the thing. The funny thing.
Pads.
We all chose the choice that none of us knew anything about. It's kind of interesting when you think about it.
Well, you're talking about FTL, man. I love FTL. But I do have to ask what that date. You said something like 2149 CE. What's CE?
I don't know. I've never played it.
Crushed eggs.
Yes. So after you drop the eggs, then it's years passing.
Yep. It's once the eggs fall.
Right.
Well, Dave, we'll wait till your eggs drop, but let's move on to another story here.
Yeah. Well, that's what I was going to... Your eggs drop. Now, do you think if you dropped the eggs in a pool, they die?
No.
What?
Deadpool.
Oh, man. That was quite a stretch. But I'm going to seg block you here. Before we get to Deadpool, one of the things that we want to talk about is something that we've got a review for on our site, and that is the Deontay box. Now, we had a gentleman from Deontay Box, Wayne Smith Jr., reached out and offered to send us a couple of the Deontay boxes. This is a loot box service just for us to review, and we said we'll review them honestly. And so we've got an article out on our website, digitalsouppodcast.com, kind of going over the loot box, but we also had the opportunity to actually talk to Wayne Smith Jr. So we are gonna go over to that beautiful bean footage and roll it.
All right, guys. So as we mentioned, we've got a very special interview here for you, and we had the opportunity. If you haven't seen the article up on digitalsouppodcast.com, go check that out, and we'll have that linked in the show notes. But we had the opportunity to review a fairly new loot box service out on the market. It's called Deontay Box, and we've got with us tonight for a few minutes to pick his brain a little bit, find out a little bit more about what he's doing, what got him into this, and that is going to be a Mr. Wayne Smith Jr. from Deontay Box, the man himself. Wayne, how are you doing tonight?
I'm doing pretty good. Doing good.
Well, that's good.
Good, good. And so when we look at this, I know the biggest thing we wanted to talk about is let people know a little bit about, because there's a lot of different loot boxes out there, a lot of different services like yours. And first off, you know, our biggest question we had for you is really a matter of what got you into this. What gave you the idea to go ahead and step into this, you know, fairly crowded space already? And what lets you go from there in a sense of, you know, thinking you've got something unique? I know we really overall really enjoyed the boxes we got and took a review of those. And so we want to hear more about what got you into this.
Well, basically it was, I'm an online shopper myself, and it ended up being that I had like 5 and 6 different subscriptions. And I'm like, I really don't want to pay like this amount of money for like 6 different subscriptions. I'm like, it just came to me, why don't I just start my own? You know, I let the people curate the box how they want it, pick the theme, and then I'll, you know, work my magic and put it together the way they want it. Because a lot of times people are like, I don't want to spend X amount of dollars on something that I don't know what I'm going to get. So,
oh, exactly.
You know, if they want a t-shirt, if they want a hoodie or whatever, you know, according to the theme, I'll let them, you know, tell me what they want, and then I'll get it according to the theme. So
right.
That's kind of how it came up, because, you know, it was just spur of the moment kind of thing. And I've always wanted to do one.
Sure.
Even before the whole, like, you know, it was all over.
Yeah,
the
place. Right.
I wanted to do one like early on, but.
Oh, exactly.
It just kind of, I just kind of put it together and just started sending it out to people.
Absolutely. Now, how long have you been doing this?
This is going to be my second year.
Oh, that's awesome.
First year was kind of slow. You sure. know, I was trying to get people interested, and, you know, I mean, even if it's like a Facebook, you know, blog or something like that, you know, people, you know, their day-to-day lives are like, what are you doing?
I'm
like,
right.
You didn't see my post, you know? So yeah. It's like now people are getting interested, and it's like,
right.
I didn't know you were doing this. I'm like, okay.
Right, right. Yeah. I suppose it's so tough to get
into. It's starting
to
pick up traction.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah.
So this is Adam, and one of the things I really like was just the diversity of the stuff that was in the box. Can you tell me a little bit about the process you take for curating this stuff? Like, what's your kind of normal process if somebody says, hey, I'm interested in a couple of things? Where do you start?
I go from like licensing sites to anywhere from like the AliExpress or Wish. You know, so if it's like directly from the artist or the license, you know, like Marvel or whatever, like I go to their discount sites, and then like I work my way down to like Wish and AliExpress.
Sure.
Sometimes it's directly from the artist themselves, or it's from like a wholesaler.
All right. Well, Wayne, this is Jason here. And I think one of the biggest questions all of our listeners want to know is what the hell's a Deontay box? Where'd the name come from?
Actually, the name is like, you know that book that you write and it's like never finished?
Right.
Deontay is a character that I've been writing for about 10 years. It's a fantasy. It's a fantasy novel that I've been working on. It's like, you know, when people talk about aliens, Pleiadians, Syrians, all of that, it's that kind of realm, you know, kind of mix Star Wars, Lord of the Rings, and bunch them all together, but put like the Pleiadians and Syrians and all of that. And Deontay is the main character, but I'm also into film writing. I'm eventually going to be working on the movie version of it. And so pretty much Deontay is the brand.
Okay.
Deontay is the brand. Deontay is the character. Deontay is the box. So I just kind of shoved everything into one little, you know, this is me.
Right. He's your Luke Skywalker then. In a sense.
Yeah.
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 So how far along is this book? Because I'm intrigued.
Actually, I'm like in the middle to last pages of it. So it's going to be like 100 or 450 pages. I'm at like 325, I guess. But it's been like for 10 year type of deal. It kind of leads up to like the, you know, like an end war type of deal. If you ever played Fable, it's kind of like the black stuff that they are fighting kind of deal. But it's, if it was in our reality and I would say that it's like a parallel world. If our reality had that type of like black stuff and another reality had it at the same time, and then both worlds meet to fight this whatever black stuff it is.
Cool. We'll be looking forward for that.
Yeah. All right, well, hey, you might not know this, but you know, that type of stuff is pretty big right now. I think you probably should hurry up and finish that.
Yeah.
So when you get to that, I mean, obviously we had John here to talk about the Deontay box itself and had no idea about the book side of things here, but when you get to that, how much is that going to change and play into what you're doing with Deontay box? Are you going to look to bring some of that branding and licensing into what you're doing with the loot boxes, or?
Possibly. I mean, like, I'm probably going to do like maybe like a novelette or, you know, like a couple of chapters in the box.
Sure.
I probably won't do a lot of like mixing in, you know, between, but you know, maybe like a flyer of what else I'm doing or something like that. But
sure. That's
you know, it. I'd probably want to keep it separate from that.
That's a cool idea to introduce kind of a, you know, like a teaser chapter or whatever you want to call it with the boxes for those people that are ordering, especially because you really go out of your way, and we'll talk about this here in a second, but you go out of your way to really customize a box for somebody, and it'd be a cool idea to, you know, kind of sneak in a little marketing for your own book and stuff to say, hey, if you're interested, I've got this thing I'm working on. Check out the first chapter. You know, I'm going to include this as a special bonus, or, you know, autograph it or something. Mm-hmm. Who knows? Maybe you'll blow up and, you know, people will be able to hold on to these, you know, special edition first release chapters or something like that. That'd be very cool. So we've got the, you know, idea out there that you really put a lot of time into customizing everybody's box, because you and I chatted briefly last night just to make sure setup was working and everything else. And we talked about how when you get into this, you know, you basically speak with these people, anyone who's going to sign up for your service, for about 5 minutes or so, 10 minute conversation, and just get an idea of what their interests are. And you really customize the box for them. And tell us about that a little bit as far as how that's working for you. And the fact that I know on our side, that's the one question we had regarding the monthly subscription, where you and I talked about it last night, so I already know what you're going to say, but just to kind of fill everyone in on, you know, because it's customized like that, how are you handling a monthly subscription in terms of, you know, refreshing that, or is it the same item, you know, same topic every month, or everything else like that?
Right. Well, with the monthly subscriptions, like, people just will call and say, you know, hey, I want Harry Potter, but I want something different, or you know, they might switch it up completely and be like, I want to close this month.
Right.
So it just depends on where they want to steer it, because, you know, they can do one box with clothes, novelties, home goods, and everything, or it can be 1 month clothes, 1 month novelties. You know, that's the difference between my boxes and other people's boxes, because they're just steered to one thing and one thing only.
Right.
And then I get people in my ear saying, you're too broad. You need to narrow it down. I'm like, but why?
Right, right.
Why do I need to narrow it down?
Right, yeah. Why think small if you're going to go, like they say, if you're going to go all out, right? So,
right.
I mean, the one thing, I want to address this here, because I know in our review of it, this is kind of the last question I really had for you. But, or not really a question, but a topic. And I know Jason wrote something in his box. He was looking for a little more variety. And there is a, I wanted to give you a chance to kind of let people know what was going on there. And, you know, maybe sway Jason's mind a little bit about his box, because there was a little situation, not a situation, but a special circumstance there that I want to make sure we address for you. So.
Okay. Well, Jason, I actually had like, you know, there were a few pops. There was like it was actually like the whole group together. It was like a resin model of like, you know, Bowser over top, like kind of cowering over top of everybody. And it came from Wish. And I was like, I can't risk having an extra 2 weeks.
Right.
And, you know, so like there's like two or three more things here right now, but I'm like, I didn't want to risk, you know, like having a low score because stuff's getting in.
Yeah.
Well, you wouldn't have to worry about that.
No, I'm
right.
No, I was just, and I wasn't upset or anything about it. I don't know what Dave told you. He probably got in line with you and he's like, man, this Jason guy hates your guts or something. No, I just, you know, I had to, you wanted, you know, the good about it. You wanted the bad about it. Mm-hmm. And like one of my co-hosts here said, I can't remember which one it was because I don't know their voices yet. I said that, you know, you had to pick, you know, a good thing and a bad thing. And the only thing I could pick was, well, you know, I got three shirts. Maybe I'll just go with that. I'll just say that's the one thing.
Mm-hmm.
Absolutely.
So otherwise, you know, I was happy. You don't have to be upset. No. You know, I hope Dave didn't.
I wanted to bring this up, and this wasn't, Wayne didn't know I was going to put him on the spot like this, but I wanted to bring this up because I want to see if with that knowledge, do you change your overall score of the box? Do we need to update the review on the website?
Well, no, I mean, I mm-hmm. like the box, you know, I gave it a 3 out of 5, which is, you know, it's well, I guess you could say that sort of average, but you know, whatever he gave me, I would have liked. I mean, I don't think it would have changed it anymore. I'm just, you know, I just, you know, to get 5, you're going to have to like throw some hundreds in there or something.
Yeah. That's a great money making prospect. So, well, For everyone out there, if you haven't seen this, we want to thank Wayne for joining us tonight, because we did want to talk to him a little bit, find out a little bit more about the company, and let you guys know a little bit more about Deontay Boxing and what this is. And of course, we do have our review of it up on our website, which you can find at digitalsuitpodcast.com, and right where you find all of our episodes and everything else. And go check that out, because we've got some images. We break it down as far as what we received. We've got an unboxing video from each of us on there, a bunch of different stuff. And we do think, as we talked about last night a little bit, Wayne, Deontay Box is a fantastic service for anybody out there where you've got these, you know, people you need to get a gift for any situation. Don't even think about it anymore. Just order up Deontay Box. And tell them let Wayne know what the interests are, and he's going to send and put together a great set of items for you. And it's a perfect gift. I mean, it really is. So go check them out. And Wayne, anything else before we wrap up the brief interview here?
Just the website, www.deontaybox.com. That's it. And, yeah, like I was telling you before, with the Gotham by Gaslight
book,
I had already pre-ordered it for you, not knowing that you guys had talked about it. I was like, it's just intuitive. I was like, he needs this book. He's a Batman fan. He needs this book.
Right. So, nice. Yeah, I'm about halfway through it today, and it is fantastic. So thank you so much for that.
You're very welcome.
Well, fantastic. Yeah, thanks, Wayne. Appreciate
Absolutely.
You being on.
And
yeah.
listeners, right. like we said, go check him out. He gave you the website here at deontaybox.com. We've got him linked up in our show notes as well as in the episode. And Wayne, thanks again for joining us. We wish you the best of luck and everything going forward, and really appreciate you reaching out to us to have us take a look at what you're doing, because it's a very cool, very unique idea when it comes to the world of loot boxes. So thanks so much for that as well.
All right. You're welcome.
Yep. All right. Have a good night, buddy.
Good night, man.
All right. You too. Thank you.
So that was great. Great to have him on as a guest. What do you guys think?
I thought it was good. It's interesting to hear a little bit more about, you know, kind of where he started the, you know, company, what gave him the idea and how he approaches things. And it's always cool. We're always open to, you know, talk to people and learn a little more about what they have going on. And of course, I always love reviewing stuff too. It's a lot of fun. So,
and I think
any listeners have any contacts or want us to check something out, certainly get in touch with us.
Did you say mouse?
Mouse.
Dead mouse?
Dead mouse. Five. Isn't that a music group, Dead Mouse 5 or something?
Dead Mouse. It's
Dead Mouse.
Like, do you think you've ever seen a dead mouse in a pool?
I think so.
I'm going to do these segues like
a... Have you ever seen a dead mouse in a pool at a trailer?
I've seen lots of mice at trailers.
Oh. The final Deadpool 2 trailer hits. Yeah.
Adam just flustered. I love it. So, Deadpool 2. Oh, the trailer comes out and it looks amazing.
Yeah, it's awesome. I watched it twice.
That's it?
Well, how was that work, freak?
I'd have that thing on the camera or the closed circuit television in your work. Whatever you have, I don't know. I think I've only seen it probably about twice also, but
Very good.
Amazing.
I had to do a Dave there. I had to do a double very good.
Yeah.
Very good.
It's always
very
worth good. Doing. It feels good. Feels good.
Yeah, if you haven't watched it yet, go check it out. Warning, if you're a child, don't.
Yes, don't. Right. Best line out of the trailer, though. And they actually, now I notice they put it right in the article, too, and I was going to comment about this. You know, because I thought I just picked it out because I was that dang cool, but no, it's right in the article. But Deadpool goes, so dark. You sure you're not from the DC universe? I loved it.
I like that, but I also like the scene in there where he refers to Cable, who's played by Josh Brolin, as Thanos, who, of course, also is playing Thanos in Infinity War, which is coming out this coming week.
Oh, the same guy is playing Thanos and Cable? Yeah.
Yep.
Wow, he's not getting typecast much.
Well, I think he, what was the line? I have to watch it again. I can't remember. It was something, Deadpool says something like, man, can you tone down the hate a little bit there, Thanos, or something like that? Because, yeah, it gets pretty intense. But, I mean, we get to see more of the beginnings of this X-Force team. We get introduced to a lot of the other characters, including Adam's favorite. What was his name? Pete?
I don't remember. Oh, the guy at the end that had no skills.
Yeah.
Like, you're hired. And then they show him, like, flying through the air.
Yeah.
I just saw the ad.
I never realized Josh Brolin was playing Thanos. That makes that even better.
Well, he doesn't look like him, so.
Well, of course, Thanos is heavy CGI and makeup. Yep. But.
So, Bran from Goonies ends up becoming Thanos. That's nice.
Oh, that's who that is?
It's Josh Brolin, yeah.
I didn't even put two and two together. I got like eight. I'm like, what the hell?
Something's wrong with you, man.
I know.
You've been the cool thing. Oh, go ahead.
Go ahead.
I was going to segue, so I might as well continue.
Oh, well, let me say one more thing before you go. Now, the one thing I did not like about this is a little too much of Deadpool without his mask on. And, you know, he just looks like, what did he say? Like a burnt scrotum or something in the first movie.
Well, I think we're going to see him in his full outfit quite a bit. I think they're keeping a lot of that under wraps. But if you think about it, in the last movie, there's a fair amount of it where he's got his mask off as well, especially because it's before he gets his powers. And then after that, there's a number of scenes where he's got his mask off with his roommate there, that woman, I can't think of her name, but Looks to be, I mean, just so much fun. But the thing I think that's really cool about this is, A, this will be out the end of this month, and so we're not going to have to wait long on it. But it really seems like they're looking at, even though there's been the jokes about, okay, they're going to stop at 2, it seems like they may be kind of edging towards a way to bring the X-Men into the fold even more, which will be interesting because once War hits, if things get reset and this whole deal with Fox and everything happens, that might be able to, I mean, it might just picture Deadpool on screen with like Thor.
And that's what I was going to say, though. It's, you know, granted Ragnarok was had a lot of, you know, comedy in it, but but Deadpool has more comedy than the traditional Marvel movie. Plus, it's quite a bit more vulgar.
Yep, and it's
so I don't know how that's going to work with it.
But I wonder if we'll see him make, you know, if this deal gets done, you know, and they're waiting to see. But if this deal gets done and everything's finalized, I wonder if we'll get to a point where we see Deadpool, maybe not a full-on Deadpool, you know, Avengers crossover, but you might see him pop up in a scene and maybe not be quite as vulgar, you know, whatever they might.
Well, maybe they'll have to do like they did when he was in X-Men and just sew his mouth shut.
Yeah, right. Well, there's a lot of talk that there's still a twist in this movie, and there's still rumors that possibly we might see Hugh Jackman's Wolverine one more time on screen with Deadpool.
I hope so.
Believe it when we see it, and who knows what's going to happen, but it would be interesting.
So would you say if they sewed his mouth shut, they'd be sewing up his smug mug?
Probably. You would say that, yeah.
But he's got that flicker in his eye, you know, so it's all good.
Yep, I'd buy that. I'd buy that. Okay, every segue we do from now on has to be a combination of all of us saying things that lead to every single title in the article's title.
No, correct that. It has to be you and Jason doing that and me just laughing the whole time.
Smug Mug is buying Flickr or has bought Flickr. So
yeah.
Smug Mug, of course, is a very popular photography hosting website. And Flickr historically has been owned by Yahoo for quite a while.
Yahoo!
And I've got a Flickr account as well.
Yep.
Looks like they are going to be taking over. I know from an email that I had received that there's a certain date that I can basically back out and not take part in it.
Right.
But Dave, do you know any more about this?
Well, I hope so.
Basically, yeah, and I have a Flickr account.
No, I don't.
I mean, Flickr was the original photo social media back in the day, you know. And it
what
was,
are you looking at, Flickr?
It was huge when I first got into photography. And Smug Mug, I've been with them forever as a customer for my main website because of their image hosting and galleries and all this stuff. And they're actually a lot of the back end on my site right now. And so it's kind of going to be interesting because I'm wondering if this is a way where Smug Mug can finally bring in. The one thing Smug Mug has always lacked is a true blogging feature like you'd see with Squarespace or something like that, and a true social aspect. I mean, they've got the social sharing and all of that, but it's always to me felt more like a gallery site, a store, like a print store where you can sell products. Or, you know, for how I use it, the main reason I got it is when I was shooting things like, you know, weddings or high school sessions and things like that, you can have your password protected galleries. You send that to your clients and they can then, you know, view their images. You can set it up so they can purchase them there, download them, whatever you want to do, however you're operating your business. But they never have had this real social aspect. And I'm hoping that in some way this acquisition will help them kind of blend those two together and bring the best of both to, you know, this new product. But they're saying Smug Mug and Flickr will continue to operate separately.
Yep.
They're not necessarily going to be, you know, just, it's not just Smug Mug acquiring new customers, because that's the thing. Smug Mug is a paid service. It's not a free, even their lowest tier, they don't have a free option, I don't think, to the best of my knowledge. But, you know, I'm okay with that on the photo side, because so often we see these free services that are great, they go for a while, and then they either start doing like Instagram does, where it's all ads and, you know, annoying stuff, or Facebook, all this kind of stuff, or they just fold and they don't stick around. But because Smug Mug has been charging since day one, it's a sustainable business model that helps them stay, you know, financially successful over a long period. So, I mean, I think really, you know, what they're saying as far as why it's so special, and this is on the Smug Mug blog here, It says they love and live photography, which makes us the perfect partners with the team at Flickr. The communities complement each other and have for years. Together, they give photographers a place online to fit in and a place to stand out. And I think that's really the key there, is that depending on how they integrate the two, it's going to give them just the opportunity to have any customers on either side be able to fully integrate both services into their usage and really kind of maximize everything in the long run. So
sure.
Pretty exciting news.
Awesome. Well, we'll see what becomes of all this. Yeah. You know, there's a lot of time where there's a merger or an acquisition and it's like, hey, everything's going to be fine. A month or two later, it's, you know what, we're done with this. So
right. Yeah. And that's the thing. Smugma could just as easily eliminate Flickr tomorrow.
Right. Well, I believe it might be time for a Gonna Geek.
Yeah. Yeah. So this week, as you know, we are a proud member of the Gonna Geek Podcast Network and wanted to take, as we always do, a moment to share out one of the other great shows on the network. And this week I want to mention a show called Just One More Fix. It's titled Episode 80 RPGs with Gray Morality. James and Lacey have a wandering conversation about gray morality in RPGs and bringing their ideas into black and white fantasy games. So if you're into RPGs, tabletop gaming, any of that kind of stuff, check this out. It's going to be a great episode for you. You can find them over at GunnaGeek.com, as well as a whole host of other podcasts over there covering all sorts of geeky topics from specific TV shows, general geek culture, even stuff like Digital Soup you'll find right there. So GunnaGeek.com, that's a place to go check it out. Bookmark it, save it, and check out all the great shows on the network. So what do we have this week coming up next?
Time for the weekly garnish.
I threw you off because usually we've got a story after it, don't we? Where we don't go from one right into the other.
I don't know.
I can't remember.
But it's kind of applicable that I brought my guitar for this one.
Applicable.
Well, it's not like...
Don't tell me how it is.
What was your word last week?
It's authenticitate.
Oh, yeah, authenticitate.
That was the
yeah.
best. Hey, I did submit that to the dictionary company, whoever it is.
Yeah, Webster.
I can't even remember.
Whoever it is.
Whoever it is. Yeah, the Kmart dictionary. Pomona. Can I name anything else that's out of business?
Right.
Okay, what do we got for the weekly garnish here, Dave? I think you put this up here. And
I did.
I did put a little, you know, quotation at the end there. Did you see what I put?
Yeah, you asked if it was real.
Yeah, because I think it is...
Bullshit!
Man, you're vulgar tonight.
That's Simon.
I don't know if it is or not. From everything being said, they're claiming it's not. But
I know what's
going
on. Tell us what it is
here,
and then I'm gonna say what I think.
What's going on here? Dave Grohl, frontman of the Foo Fighters, former Nirvana drummer, and all-around rock powerhouse, one of my favorites, invited a fan on stage, and this guy came up. They called him Kiss Guy because he was, you know, had his face painted in Kiss makeup and everything else. Invited a fan on stage, which Foo Fighters have done a number of times in the past, and Dave Grohl handed his guitar over to this guy and basically said, let's do this, and the guy came out and was just knocking it out of the park.
He shredded it. Now, this guy, he looks like a rocker. He's got the long hair. He had a pick in his pocket all ready to go.
I mean, yeah.
That's why
not uncommon, though, for...
No, let me tell you.
I have short hair and no pick. It's very uncommon. I am the common
man. Yeah, but
you're
also not a musician.
But I am the common man.
Right, but I'm going to say, from my standpoint, this is one of those things where... As a musician, you go to a concert, you get those nice, close front row seats, whatever it is. If you're a guitar player, absolutely, chances are you've got a pick in your pocket, your wallet, wherever it is. And this is like the dream come true. You're hoping, I mean, I'm pretty sure that almost every musician who's gone to watch one of their favorite bands has had this thought in their mind, like, wouldn't it be crazy if they called me up to go play on stage with them? And Foo Fighters do that from time to time.
Okay, but this guy's a professional because he is full on rocking out, even syncs up with the bassist. I mean, this guy, he is, hey, this is my 1 millionth show. This right. is nothing.
No, well, I tell you what, you go look at his Instagram account. I mean, he's a musician. He's playing in bands all the time. So I mean, it's not like yeah. he.
That's what I'm
play.
Saying. It's he all set up. To he's going to be the new guitar up, player though. For Foo Fighters.
No,
yeah. For
his
sure.
name has come out to be what would you? How would you pronounce this?
Yayo Sanchez from Austin, Texas. You know, when I was what year would this be? 2005 or so.
Yeah.
There was a high school kid at my church that would play drums once in a while down in Anoka, and he was a huge Green Day fan.
Yeah,
and so he had worn a shirt that says "I'm a drummer." And they brought him up on stage and had him play at their big show.
Right.
And so they got video and all these pictures and stuff. They gave him a set of sticks and the video they took of him as he's playing, he looks like he's just in a complete daze. Like, what is happening? But it was pretty awesome. I mean, it was talk about an experience, your favorite band, you get to go up and actually rock out with them. That's pretty cool. Right. So.
And I think the reason I don't
unfortunately
think this is
I can't
a setup,
do that because my favorite bands are the Mamas and the Papas.
Aww.
Well,
Mama Cass is dead.
Actually, they're probably all dead right now.
What'd you say?
I said, have a sandwich for your homies. That was mean.
Well, there's a thing on the end of this article in Mashable. It says, and if you're thinking this was all set up, a longer version of the video shows Grohl mocking those who will think that it was only a stunt.
Yeah.
He said, they often have fans come on stage and play along, but this is the best they've ever had.
Yeah. When you watch this, I mean, the video is great. And I did watch both of them. But when you see him come up there and start playing, Dave Grohl is like, all right, so we got this guy, and he's kind of not sure what to think. And you never know. I mean, he's a professional. He's been doing this forever. But there's people out there that are so amazingly talented and could absolutely hang with any one of these guys, but they haven't got their shot. Or maybe they just choose not to do it to that level. You know, they don't want to leave their family or whatever their situation is. But he hands him the guitar, and this guy just starts ripping off solos and doing these things, and he's keeping up. Grohl is floored. I mean, he's forgetting the words to half the song because he's just laughing like, are you kidding me? While he says some other words. But
now I did just check Snopes and it does say it's fake.
I don't buy sure it. I don't believe you.
Well, that's okay.
I think Jason's just jealous because he's not a musician.
Nope, he's peanut butter and jealous. So
it's a very cool video, though, guys. Check it out.
Yeah, we're going to include that in our show notes. And as always, you can find all of our show notes at our website, digitalsouppodcast.com, along with all the links to all of our social media, which we would love to chat and hang out with you guys. Leave us a comment. Hit like, subscribe. You can listen to us anywhere that you listen to podcasts. We're pretty much everywhere. We hope you enjoyed this episode, and we look forward to having you again next week. So stay safe out there, folks, and we will catch you on the flip side.
Take care, guys.
Winamp. It really whips the llama's ass. Oh.
Around 28 years ago, I can still remember the day the Sega Genesis was released. And I would play it day and night, totally in awe of its graphical might, realizing the NES was officially deceased. But Nintendo was about to deliver a new console to make Sega shiver, a 16-bit successor to the NES with Mode 7 3D goodness. Now they say classic gaming's died, but modern consoles are terrified what little computer can provide to fill gamers with classic pride. So I'm building my Raspberry Pi. Classic gaming when it's raining is such a good time. With all these titles I will plan to survive, and I'll be laughing every time that I die as I load save state on my Raspberry Pi.